Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays. The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Dave Wunstead hanging out with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Time to talk some football with Coach Wunstead. And Dave, Bears win a game. It wasn't their greatest performance, but they played kind of a field position game. The punter looked like a guy who was a fourth-round draft pick.
Wow.
Punted great, flipped the field. And they got it done.
Fourth round draft pick, Molly. If we drafted him, if we drafted that kid in the first round, would anybody be disappointed? Hell no. Are you kidding me?
I mean, that was
three punts inside the 20, two of them over 60.
He helped them win a game.
He helped them.
You know, absolutely. He was averaging 60 yards a punt, which would have been the best in Bears history. And then he puts a punt down at the 8.5-yard line when you need it most, 35-yard punt. And that reduces his numbers, but it won the game.
Right. Guys, incredible. I mean, I hope he got a game ball for this one. I'm serious because, you know, they call the special teams the hidden yardage because, no one talks about that. But, you know, so I'm glad that you guys are. But, no, you talk about a great pick by Ryan Poles. Absolutely.
Shane Waldron was better, Dave. He had to be. What would you have done, did this ever happen to you, where you had players approach you and say, coach us harder? And then had they done that, what would you think of those players going public with that request?
Yeah, I don't like it. I don't like it one bit. I mean, now, every week, though, and I'll be honest with you, the two guys when we were at Dallas, we had Jack Del Rio and Ray Horton was my safety as an example. And Jack, this is when I was the defensive coordinator. And I'm talking in the shoes of Waldron right now. Jack was my middle linebacker. And I would give them the game plan and I would say, take this home. It was like Wednesday before. Once I put the game plan in and we practiced it, I said, take this home. And those two guys and myself would sit down Thursday morning. And they, it's funny that they both ended up being coaches, but we would sit down and I would go through the game plan after we, with those guys, and after we practiced it. And I remember Ray Horton said, coach, I don't have a lot of confidence in, and I won't name the players, if we checked it at coverage, you just know that we're at a disadvantage there. And Jack might say, coach, you know, yeah, it's good. You know, can we move the lineman on that there? I can get to the perimeter quicker if we can get the lineman, whatever it might be. Little things like
that. That's good communication.
And they were our captains. And
that's great communication.
You know, so I did that every week with those guys. So there was never, we were never going into the game, and players and coaches were not 100% on the same thing. And there were some, and there were a lot of cases where Ray might say, Coach, I just soon stay in zone, man. I don't know about the man. I say, hey, we got to go man because we got to force this thing a little bit. Okay. You know what I mean? That was the end of it.
They ran the ball. Okay. They finally ran the football. And the quarterback, I know they're worried about taking away his aggressiveness and all that, but the quarterback made good decisions. You yes. didn't come out of that game feeling like, oh, no, what a terrible turnover that was.
The best thing that Caleb said, and I listened to his press conference close, is that he said, you know, I really was concerned about the football, just what you're saying, Mully. You know, I mean, it was. He completed 74% of his passes, no touch, no interceptions. And he says, I knew what a good defense we had. And this is really, think about what this kid's saying. I knew how good our defense was matching up here. And I knew what we had on special teams with our punter. Mm. He actually said that in his press conference.
The guy he didn't think he'd need.
Right. And right now he's in a huddle with him. But when he said that, I said, you know, because that's what the great ones do. The great ones, as the game's going on, they get a sense of, do I got to take some chances here throwing the ball or for us to score points and win? Or are we, is this game in good hands with the rest of our team running the ball in defense? And he made that comment. I thought that was very mature for a rookie to, you know, observe that, unless somebody told him that, but I don't think so.
So now they need more maturity. Now, Dave, they have to make sure that they don't take that one victory and get ahead of themselves, because the next two games on the schedule are winnable, and they look ahead. How do they do that? How challenging is that for a coaching staff to make sure that you don't look ahead too far and you learn how to handle success?
You know, this game could have, in all honesty, you know, it could have turned either way. Okay, let's be real about this. Great win for the Bears. So my reason I say that is, when you go into the meetings with the players, you know, our defense, and I made this comment, Flus and Eric Washington, the coordinator, did a great job of dialing up the pressures when we had to stop them. Okay, you know, when we get Brisker coming off for the big sack on third down, you know, they turn Sweat loose one time on a blitz and he deflects a pass. The point that I'm making is, other than those pressures like that, I thought our defense was kind of a bend but don't break. Yeah. You know, and their offense really wasn't very good. You know, I mean, Stafford completed a lot of passes and they were running the ball. I was a little bit nervous about our defense. When they had to turn it up at the end in situations, they did. I thought they played great situation defense. You know, but that did concern me a little bit. I thought that they would maybe smother these guys with having two or three offensive linemen out. So going back to your original question, David, it's easy when you put that tape on and you're being blocked and they're completing passes like they were, to put the tape on and say, hey, guys, this ain't going to get it. You know, we're going to be playing a lot better people than the Rams, okay? They were at the bottom of the barrel as far as statistics. And so we got to tighten this up. So they'll respond good. They will respond good. They got a little taste of victory. We're at home again. Boy, the crowd really got into it at the end. It was positive all the way around.
So in a single gap defense like the Bears run at 4-3, it is susceptible to the running game, and the Rams took advantage of that. Also, I think that you look at the way that Matthew Stafford attacked the middle of their defense with completions down. They didn't. That's also another vulnerable area. Are those? I mean, not that you don't want to ignore. You can't ignore that. But you say bend don't break. There were a lot of good defenses here in Chicago under Lovie Smith that were bend don't break. Takeaways and pass pressure, yep, and sacks.
Yep.
Can they get away with, I guess, moving forward, knowing what their weaknesses are, and they may be middle of the pack against the run. Can you be middle of the pack against the run and do the other things well enough,
yes,
to be an elite defense?
Yes, you can. And the defensive scheme that I ran my entire career is just like the Bears. And we were a single gap up the field. Mm-hmm. And what you're seeing, though, is you got to admit, we are seeing more production on negative plays, and whether it's run and pass, with the Dexters of the world. You know, yeah, they're making more plays. There's kind of a trade-off. You know, if you want them all standing at the line of scrimmage and building the wall, we'll stop the run, but we got no chance on anything else. So the philosophy is, and I'm all in, that you're going to give up a little bit of runs here and there. You know, I guess at the end of the day, the runs wouldn't have bothered me as much if you got to keep them to a minimum, though. You know, our secondary seemed like they were a little bit soft in coverage, not their ability to play. But, you know, I mean, even though if you're playing zone, you can match up a little bit tighter on those zones, you know? I mean, that bothered me a little bit because Stafford was getting the ball out so quick. And I do see our pass rush pressure is better. Pressure is better. The sacks may not be stacking up right now. They'll come. Pressure is better than a year ago. Negative plays versus the run with our defensive line is better, but we're going to give up a little bit of yards. And you know, the other thing too is you got to play great red zone defense. If you're going to play that style of defense, which I did, you got to be really good in the red zone. And the Bears were outstanding in the red zone. They held them to what, one touchdown or something?
They did. It was disappointing from my perspective to see them commit 10 penalties.
Yeah.
Five of them were pre-snap penalties.
Yeah, wow.
That's shameful. And you know, we kind of talked about it, and I got criticized for saying so, but that to me is coaching. That is setting a standard and holding people accountable for it. You cannot let somebody jump offside twice without pulling them out of the game and telling them, hey, you know, that's not on. That is not on.
Yeah, I'd love to hear Cole because he's as smart. You know,
yeah,
what were you thinking? I mean, yeah, no, those penalties will. There's no such thing as a small penalty. I mean, Don Shula used to say that. You know, he would go as berserk with a five-yard jumping off sides as he would a 15-yard personal foul. And his thinking was, no penalties. You know, we can't accept any of it. So, yeah, the Bears are, I mean, you know, they got to clean that up because that could cost them a game.
How surprised are you that we're four games into the season and still waiting for Caleb Williams to be a downfield passing threat? He is not connecting on those passes. They seem to be a little bit off, whether it's protection or accuracy or a combination of both. It doesn't seem to be a team that threatens anybody vertically.
Yeah, and we're not going to be able to do that out of the shotgun dropping back. We've got to throw the ball. And you know my philosophy. You guys have been hearing this for 6 years. Two deep passes a half. That was always my deal. Throw it deep. If it's incomplete, you might get a pass interference and you're going to complete some. And so we need to do that. And you know, we've run it enough. I mean, I don't think no one out there is worried about the Bears running game right now. Trust me. We had that one run with DeAndre Swift. You know, God bless him. I mean, you know, it was very nice. I loved it. But, you know, they haven't proven to me that we can run the ball consistently yet. But you don't have to. Still line up in the eye and do a play action fake or the one back play action fake. And throw the ball deep. You can do that, guys. You can do that.
What is the problem that they're having with consistently running the football?
I'm telling you now, and I'm a broken record, DeAndre Swift is not your best inside runner. Okay. The runs that he gets for two, I believe with all my heart that Roshan or Herbert would be getting four. Okay? I just believe that. Now, as far as catching screens and running tosses and the passing schemes and the blitz schemes, he is A+. He's the guy. And mix him in there for some when you're offset. And you know, but when you want to line up and bloody somebody's nose, it's those two guys. They're your pound guys inside to break tackles. And you know, I don't know. That's a personal opinion.
Yeah.
And like I say, I love, you know, DeAndre Swift is an outstanding player and young man, you know, but you got to use this far into the season. We should know what our guys do best and let's take advantage of that, you know?
Do you like offensive linemen in the backfield as a rule? The Bears did it with Doug Kramer and it worked. I know some coaches bristle at that.
I did it with Jim Flanagan.
You remember? Yeah, of course.
We used Jim Flanagan, who was a defensive tackle, out of Notre Dame, Dustin. I know you knew that. And he was a starting defensive tackle, and he was our fullback on the goal line because I forget who, Raymond Harris or somebody was hurt at the time. So he blocked. Now, you got to be a good enough athlete.
Yes.
And Flanagan was, You know, I don't know if our, you know, if an offensive lineman's a good enough athlete, because you've got to be able to make your block when you're running full speed, and you got a linebacker that's going to be a better athlete. So you got to keep your feet and make a block. It's not as easy as it looks good in a clinic when you're drawing it up, okay? But when you actually go out and do it, it's a mess. Okay?
Everything looks good at a clinic.
Everything, David, looks good at a clinic.
It's interesting because Blassingame was able to play, but they kept him on the inactive list. You thought he was back and ready to play, and then you thought, oh, they're not going to use a fullback at all. Oh, wait a minute, they got an offensive line. It was kind of a fun way of using a guy that you didn't know they were going to use. So they actually, whereas last week, I think they had two reserve offensive linemen that didn't play, everyone other than the quarterback played in that game. And that's good use of your game day.
Yeah, it worked great. The guy did a great job, Garrett. I mean, but yeah, we actually threw Flint. I mean, we loved that. I mean, we were always I formation, the fullback blocking power sweeps. And then we also threw the fullback in the flat. You know, that was, you know, the old Darryl Johnson Dallas Cowboy play. We ran at the death with Ramon Harris, and we actually threw Flanagan a couple passes. Remember that?
Yeah,
into the flat. Yeah. So, yeah, we
it's, you know what I remember, Dave, is Dave Craig was the quarterback at one point, and he missed a pass to Flanagan. Flanagan may have dropped the ball or whatever. And I was talking to Dave Craig about it just in the parking lot, just kind of chatting with him. And he was like, hey, we're two guys from Wisconsin. I told, like, it was so classy. It was so funny. Him and Jim, that was great stuff.
Dave, the Panthers have one victory. They're 1-3. And in those three losses, though, their average margin of victory or loss or defeat is 23 points. They could get blown out. They could come in here and Andy Dalton could throw the ball around. What do you expect from the Panthers, and how much should the Bears fear them if they will?
Oh, God. I mean, it's amazing that the Panthers won a game, in my opinion. You know, this is one that the Bears should feel good about. I don't know. What is the spread on this? I didn't even
look. 3.5.
Really?
Yep.
Wow. I mean, that's kind of amazing to me. I think the Bears got a little bit of confidence now. They'll take a step forward. You know, I don't see. I mean, is Andy Dalton? I mean, God bless him. He's been around the league, so you know he's a good player. But I could not name five guys on their team.
And their leading tackler just got a season-ending injury in the last game.
Is that right? Yeah, I didn't even
linebacker.
I couldn't tell you who that was. You know,
I could look it up for you. Yeah.
Leading rusher is Chuba Hubbard.
Oh, yeah.
You like a Chuba Hubbard?
I like Chuba Hubbard. You know how I know Chuba Hubbard? Not because of the Panthers, but because he played at Oklahoma State. and you know, I follow Oklahoma
State. And you keep
State.
Track of everywhere you coach.
Everywhere
it's
I coach.
It's a lot of teams to keep track of, Dave.
Yeah, so no, I think the Bears match up very good this week, to answer your question. Offense, defense, and special teams. It comes down to emotionally being ready to go, and they're at home, so that should be a factor. No, I mean, this is a good team that we need to go out and make some strides and win this football game, and then get ready to, then we go to London, right?
Yeah, that's right. Jolly old London. I was thinking of you, Dave, because yesterday Jalen Johnson was talking, and he said that the great thing about the team is how they're all competing to be the closer. That they came out on the field for that last series and everyone was saying, I'm going to make the big pick. No, I'm going to make the big pick. I'm going to make the strip sack.
Yep.
That's great to hear. And that's, you know, we've talked about it. You got to have closers. You got to have a way of winning the game.
Absolutely. That's, that's Jalen being very confident, which you want. You know, he's one of the leaders, one of the captains, and that trickles down through everybody, that type of attitude. And, that's fantastic because you have to, you got to have closers on offense and defense because you're going to be in games like that. So it was a great win. Get ready for this one and go, you know.
Great stuff, Dave. Thank you. Always a joy.
Thanks,
appreciate
Dave.
Appreciate it, buddy.
All right, guys.
All right. We'll be right back. 312-644-6767. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays? The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported, 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Before we all go out, everybody kind of says that, I'm going to get a pick, or the D-line, oh, we're going to get a strip sack. So kind of just competing all the time, just who's going to make that it play.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670. The score, that's Jalen Johnson, the cornerback, talking about the mentality of the defense. I got to tell you, love hearing that kind of thing.
Love hearing that. And Dave talked about some of the things about the defense in our segment with Dave Wanstead, was sponsored by ChicagoRoofingContractors.org, providing all-weather protection for your business. The one thing about a bend-don't-break defense is that it can survive that way, and it can be one that bends as long as it doesn't break, mm-hmm. provided that you pressure the quarterback and create takeaways. You can't have one without the other. And I think that you understand certain things about every defense, where they're weakness and susceptible to things happening. The Bears' defense is susceptible to good running games and good running backs. The last 2 weeks, they faced really good running backs. Jonathan Taylor and Kyren Williams are all-pro caliber running backs.
Hey, the Bears won the game. They got the big interception late. The fact of the matter is that Matthew Stafford did get hit on that play, and that looked like helmet-to-helmet contact. And if the officials had wanted to, they could have thrown a flag there, and who knows? Who knows what happens then? Because Matthew Stafford would then have gotten a first down. They'd have gotten out of the hole, and who knows what would have happened, what turn of events. There was a minute left of his, in the game.
Because of his past.
Yeah.
You know, when he had 90 yards to go in 63 seconds, nobody felt comfortable.
No.
Because he was Matthew Stafford. And on that play, it would have kept the drive alive.
I know.
And then who knows what would have happened and how it would have ended. That is a break for the Bears. I thought the officials all day, there was another play that they could have conceivably called roughing the passer or maybe a late on Matthew Stafford. Had they treated him like the future Hall of Famer that some people consider him, they did not. Yeah. And so it was to the Bears' advantage. And I do wonder also if you play defense at a certain level and you have a certain intensity that you bring to each and every snap, if the hits like that don't stand out. And I know it sounds, but it doesn't seem.
That's an interesting point.
Because
they are relentless in what they're doing and they're hitting all the time, that didn't seem like it was especially egregious.
The Bears set a violent tone from the first snap through the last one. And I think that when they do that, that's what coaches want.
Yeah.
So hits like that don't stand out. You're not making arm tackles.
That's good.
You're not tripping people. You are hitting them. You're squaring up and you're bringing them down. And so when you have something like that happen with Matthew Stafford, it looks like, oh, that's just another Bears tackle, or that's just another Bears sack that they just almost got there. It's a heck of a way to play defense, and they make a living that way. And so what happens over the course of the last 10 games, they've not given up more than 21 points. That's how you establish your reputation, and that's how you become an elite defense.
Yeah, and we're not what-ifing. We're not talking. We're just saying that that was a scary moment in the game. When they had to give the ball back, you would obviously much prefer to get a first down rushing the football and eating some more clock, but they had a punt. They got a great punt, and they made a play to win the game. But even play they made, that was a little scary.
A little bit. And teams will look at the Bears, and if you want to be a playoff caliber team, you have to correct your mistakes. The Bears have, I think, an opportunity against the Panthers to get better at what they're good at, if that
Bears
makes
should
any
win
sense.
This game.
They
the
should
Bears
win
should
this game.
Win this game,
and they should go into it not with overconfidence, but with the belief that they can force their will, impose their will on the Panthers on both sides of the ball. They need to continue to force the running game and be stubborn about it. When you line up with three tight ends and a center in the backfield, you're being stubborn and you're saying, stop us if you can, and they couldn't. Do that again. And then defensively, you just continue your same style. Like Jalen Johnson said, have a contest internally, who's going to be the closer, who's going to create the turnover, and that's a great mentality to take into Sunday.
If you can win a game at home with that coach and that quarterback versus the quarterback coming in here, the red rifle, the coach coming in here, I think you can. If you could beat the Rams in that game, then you should win this game. Period, end of story. And I do expect the Bears to win the game, but I also am not afraid to say that they have to win this game. You know, at the end of the year, when you add up all this stuff, that is how you build your wins. You beat teams you're supposed to beat, and you take care of business, especially when you're at home. They've won seven straight at home. Is that what it is? It's pretty damn good.
Seven straight at home. It's the longest streak in the league. It's not insignificant.
No.
You have to protect your home field. I think Caleb Williams is the first rookie, number one overall pick in the modern era, to win his first two home games. That's this other number you saw bandied about yesterday. What's happening is that the Bears are making Soldier Field uncomfortable for their opponents. That's the idea.
Yes.
That's what you want to happen, especially once, you know, it's cliche, but when the weather turns, you want to be able to say that you have a home field advantage, and you want to be able to look at something and point to a number that represents that. So This is a good trend that the Bears are creating.
I agree.
And you look at Caleb Williams, you'd like to see him take another step. You'd like to see him continue to progress. The best thing about him on Sunday was that he didn't get the Bears beat. He didn't turn the ball over. And his efficiency rating, his passer rating reflected that.
Yes.
Now I think it's okay to expect against a Panther defense that is vulnerable, complete some passes down the field, and don't use DJ Moore as decoy Moore.
312-644-6767. That's driving me nuts. The decoy Moore thing is driving me nuts. I think that I don't understand why you gave a guy a $111 million contract extension, why you gave him the richest contract in Bears history, and now you're insisting on kind of using him as an afterthought, as a decoy, as somebody who who's designed to set up someone else. I get that he gets a lot of attention. I get that he can help other people. But he can also do a lot of damage. That's why you pay him. You're not paying him so that he can be someone that gets attention. You're paying him so he can get the ball and do the things he can do. He's playing against his old team. Use him.
That was one of the three things about the offense on Sunday that did surprise me. Obviously, the emphasis on the running game reflected by the center in the backfield was number one. DJ Moore not getting more involved in the offense down the field was number two, because I think that is something they need to work on. And that was,
I would have thought they'd have noticed that. You know what I mean? Seriously.
Or I would have thought they would have tried to correct that.
Well, that's what I mean.
Yeah. Or try to address it in some way that makes better use of your resources. Maybe they felt like with Keenan Allen back, that was less of a priority. But it should be number one priority, especially going against his former team. The third aspect, though, we haven't really talked about, but I do wonder about. Caleb Williams as a runner is something I didn't expect to see utilized on Sunday against the Rams. They ran some read options. He had some designed runs for the quarterback. This isn't the Justin Fields era. I did not think that we were going to see Caleb Williams using his feet to move the chains. And yet he did a couple times. He learned how to slide. Thank you for the slip and slide. But I don't know that that's something you want to get used to. I don't like that. I don't like that trend. I don't think that you want to use him as a runner. He's athletic enough to escape the rush. We have seen him do that. I don't think you want designed runs. Not to be nitpicking about a running game that you're happy with, but that's not a good idea.
I did not have a major problem with it because of the fact that he was able to slide, because he didn't take big hits. What I don't like is when he took big hits in the pocket. That's I would rather have him run and slide than stand there and take a big hit or two. So I get it. I mean, you want the safety of the player most importantly, but I felt like they did a good job when the blitz was on.
They did,
and that was a huge step forward. Continue that, but you know
that's
don't
good.
Get the guy
no
hit.
Doubt about it. I mean, the blitz. The blitz defense, or the way that they protected him against the blitz, they've improved from week one to week four, and that's good because the book on them was obviously you can blitz them, and I think we've seen that exploited. But what I don't like and what I'm referring to is not his ability to escape the rush, because he can, and whether he's buying himself some time to look down the field or just using his legs to kind of run for cover. I don't like the read options and using him as a runner by design. I don't like giving him the option of, or maybe part of the play being he's more likely to keep it than to hand off, because I just don't think you need to increase your chances for catastrophe. And I think every time you allow him to tuck and run down the field when he's not escaping a pass rush, you're increasing those chances. And I just don't think that's a good idea.
All right, we're going to squeeze in our buddy Ron. Ron's on the south side. Hey, Ron.
Hey, good morning. Hey, guys, I have to tell you all, I heard you all's picks, but you know I have the original ones in the vault here at the house.
That's right, Ron. We remember that, yeah.
Right.
From April.
Right. So, hey, but when I hang up or whatever, you all can give me you all's picks again, because mine changed. I had Baltimore over Atlanta, and I think I'm going to go with the Padres. To me, the Padres have a shutdown bullpen. They appear to be the most balanced as far as starting pitching.
You're a genius, Ron.
I'm gonna ask a real quick question about Pete Rose. Now, if you are a manager in baseball, is it still illegal to bet on baseball?
Yes.
I have one more point. Okay, so then you know what? No, he doesn't get in. Because, see, to me, I know, Dave, you had mentioned, like, say, for instance, the marijuana law. But the law has changed. And that's not even in every state. The law, but it's relative to Pete Rose, it's still illegal to bet on baseball. So based on that, I can't accept it. Hey, and lastly, Saturday, the baseball show is still great, but David, I do miss talking to you. And again, you all give me you all some picks. Could I tell you all this real quick? Hey, Mully, you had Baltimore over Atlanta. I know I had that. But David, you look good. We all have Baltimore, but David, you had Philadelphia winning it all. So you looking pretty good. So maybe you all give me your picks again so I can write them down. And man, just Always a pleasure talking to y'all.
Thanks, Ron. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Ron.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I had the Phillies over the Yankees now. I think in the spring I predicted Phillies over Orioles.
And I had the I had did I have Baltimore Atlanta
in the beginning of the year.
Yeah, I think I did.
You've amended that.
I've amended that and now I have San Diego over Houston.
And that's a good one. I'd be a surprise if the Astros get to the World Series and Padres would be great theater because that pitching staff. Because Dylan Cease would be the ace of that staff, the guy who was second in the majors in strikeouts. You know who was number one? Chris Sale.
Yeah.
Ouch.
Oh, boy. Well, these things
Love
happen.
Ron talking baseball, though. He makes a good
fun.
Point
yep.
about Pete Rose and the way that we view betting on baseball now, the way that we might have viewed it years ago. The problem for me is the fact that Major League Baseball has embedded itself and embraced so much sports gambling. And so it seems somewhat hypocritical.
Somewhat?
A little hypocritical.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of hypocrisy in the world. I think if Pete Rose ever gets on a ballot, he's in. There's no way around it. But I just wonder if he'll ever get on a ballot. That's all. We'll see. I mean, you know how I feel. I'm all for it. But I don't know, man. Mike Florio is going to join us next. We'll talk to Mike about the happenings in the league, and we'll get to some little Bears hint of talk. We've got to start winning some games, and they have. They're 2-2.
They did. Real quick, the texter 516, DJ Moore leads the team in targets and is eighth in the league. Yes, but what Mully's referring to, what I'm referring to, is six targets on Sunday.
Yeah,
that's not great. Listen, for your number one wide receiver.
The fact of the matter is that he has, in the entire league, he's 74th out of 91 going into that game with 7.5 depth of target.
No, 7. Down the field.
Throw the ball down the field. That's what I'm saying. They're giving him the ball right off the line of scrimmage or behind the line of scrimmage. I'd like to see him get down the field. It's not about how many times they're trying to get to him.
Fair enough.
Mully and Hall on the score.
Mike Florio, ProFootballTalk.com, NBC Sports, Twitter.com/ProFootballTalk.
Day by day, we get better and better.
We get better and better.
We get beat.
NFL insider Mike Florio with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. We love our opportunity to talk to Mike Florio. He joins us now on the Arturo Tire Hotline. Arturo, your hometown tire, Arturo.com. And Michael, good morning. Our buddy Bobby V wanted to wish you a happy Calomina.
Yes, Calomina. I already got a text from him. Calomina. Ah,
beautiful.
Another month has gone by. Another month closer to death. But yes, Calomina.
We are in October, for God's sake. Who knew? What are we learning about the NFL? There are two unbeaten teams. We know that the Chiefs have been unbeaten. They're a pretty good team. What in the name of God happened with the Vikings? Where did they come from? How good is that quarterback? How good is that defense?
You know, it's amazing to think about it because when the season was approaching, you look at the talent levels of the four teams in the NFC North, most would have put the Vikings at the bottom. But Sam Darnold, the latest example, and you look around the league, how many quarterbacks who washed out in their first stop ended up getting another chance? And for Sam Darnold, it was team number four before he finally flourished. I was talking about this earlier today on PFT Live, whether it's Geno Smith, Sam Darnold, Baker Mayfield, Jared Goff to a certain extent. All the guys who are getting it done after early career disappointment, we know it's a copycat-driven league. How many teams are looking at all the depth charts now, looking at all of the failed former first-round quarterbacks who are out there and asking themselves, is this the next one? So Darnold's the key. Nobody saw that coming. Maybe we should have. Offensive line's good enough. Running game's good enough. Receivers are great. Defense under Brian Flores is awesome. And they won two games close, two games easily. They should have blown out all four of their opponents. They held on. in two games where the momentum was really swinging against them, San Francisco and Green Bay, and they still got the win, which is impressive. But off they go now to face their old friend Aaron Rodgers in London to try to get to 5-0 before their bye week. It really is one of the biggest surprises of the season.
It is, but before you anoint him the best quarterback in the division, Mike, Jared Goff would like a word. 18 for 18, that's something else. The Lions looked, when they're that good offensively, you wonder if there's anybody in the NFC that can beat them.
And Jared Goff is another guy that falls into that category. Even though he made it to a Super Bowl and got a second contract with the Rams, I was one of many who was saying the Rams should not give him a second contract. At some point, we can't just assume because a guy checks pass on the pass-fail line of quarterback competence, we just make him the highest-paid player in league history, which they did. And then they dumped him. They had to attach a first-round draft pick to get the Lions to take him. And look at what he's become. And, you know, I don't know whether or not he can take the Lions to a Super Bowl, take them to a Super Bowl win. But if he plays like he did last night, they'll get there. Now, the defense needs to maybe buckle down a little bit.
Yeah.
But if the offense is going to play like that, it doesn't matter. You're going to score 42 points in this NFL now with scoring down. If you can ring up 42, you're going to win most of your games.
Mike, is there any move that the Chiefs can make to improve their receiving core? Would you expect them to be on the phone with everyone looking trade?
I think that, now, first of all, you look at the free agents. There aren't a lot of great ones out there. Michael Thomas, who set the single season reception record in 2019, had an ankle injury week one in 2020, was never the same after that. Julio Jones is out there. There are others, but is it really going to make a difference? I think they need to be looking at trades, and maybe a trade in the short term and maybe another trade as you get closer to the deadline and teams know that it's over. And the deadline is later this year, so teams have an extra week to come to the conclusion and so that their fans can come to the conclusion that it's over. One name that's already coming up is Tyreek Hill. I don't think the Dolphins are going to want to do it. He's their best player. $41.8 million dead cap charge next year if they trade him now. And when you look at what they gave up to get him from the Chiefs 2 years ago, five picks led by a first rounder, you got to get a significant haul back if you're going to trade him. And I don't know that the Chiefs would give that up for a guy they already decided to move on for. So they need to find somebody. And there will be guys out there, maybe Amari Cooper, if the Browns continue on their current track. You know, so much of it depends on how the bad teams continue moving forward. Do they keep losing? Do they start winning? And are they able to comfortably fold the tents and give up a key player close to the deadline? That extra week proposed by the Browns, coincidentally, could be just enough to let the Browns say, hey, we could trade Amari Cooper to the Chiefs.
This segment with Mike Florio is brought to you by Great Clips. It's going to be great.
Mike, Jaden Daniels is the best rookie quarterback in the NFL right now. What's your level of surprise that he's doing what he's doing with the Commanders?
I'm not overly surprised because when we were at the scouting combine in Indianapolis, we were interviewing defensive players and we try to ask all of them. And we do this every year because we don't have to come up with new questions. But it also is interesting to hear what they say. Who's the toughest player you've ever faced? And for the SEC defensive players, without hesitation, unanimously, Jaden Daniels, Jaden Daniels, Jaden Daniels. And we're seeing his game translate. Offense is the same as the one he ran at LSU, which that's one of the lessons to be learned. You fell in love with the quarterback because of the things you saw him do in college in the offense he ran. Let's run the offense he ran when he was in college. But he's got the supporting cast. He's running. He's throwing. Highest completion percentage through four games of any quarterback in league history. He almost set the record for the most rushing yards first four games of a quarterback's career. RG3 is number one. And when you say RG3 in the presence of Commanders fans now, they get very skittish because they remember what happened with RG3, yeah, who had the same kind of year in 2012. Knee injury, never the same after that. So I think Jaden Daniels is even more impressive than Griffin was, but we're four games in. We'll see where it goes. But he's been spectacular. Franchise-altering type of a player that makes them arguably the best team in the division.
You're the best, Mike. Thank you.
Thanks, Mike.
Thanks, guys.
That is Mike Florio. We're going to talk to Jared Payton next. Mully and Hall on the Score.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays? The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.